good morning. Y'all awake? Y'all ready? I will tell you this, I've been up since 5 o'clock this morning ready to preach. I cannot sleep most nights before I get a chance to speak. It's just something in me. I just got to do it. And I get excited. And so open your book, your Bibles, your book, the book, to Daniel chapter 1. Very familiar passage. And today, I was thinking about, this is the 15th graduating class that I've had the opportunity to recognize since I came to Sardis. And I'm just like, dang, these kids were like 3 and 4 years old when I got here. I am old. But I am blessed to do what I do, and I thank you for allowing me to do that and investing in the lives of students and children. And that's one of the things that drew me to Sardis when Brother Paul and I talked all those years ago about coming on board. And I loved the emphasis that you guys had already built. And so Daniel chapter 1, you'll see the title up there, How to Be Like Daniel. I think Daniel is a great person to emulate. It is a great person that not only youth, but adults, man, if we can be like Daniel, we can do much with God's word. We can do much with the mission that God has with us. We can do what God wants us to do. And so I want to look at, it's going to be a shot. We're going to start in chapter 1, but we're going to look at kind of the whole life of Daniel. And so we're going to start in verse 8. It says, but Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. And the commander of the officials said to Daniel, I am afraid of my lord the king who has appointed your food and your drink. For why should he see your faces looking more haggard than the youths who are your own age? Then you would make me forfeit my head to the king. But Daniel said to the overseer whom the commander of the officials had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days, and let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be observed in your presence and the appearance of the youths who are eating the king's choice food, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them in this manner and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their appearance seemed better, and they were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice food. So the overseer continued to withhold their choice food and wine they were to drink, and kept giving them vegetables. As for the four youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. Then at the end of the days which the king had specified for presenting them, the commander of the officials presented them before Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked to them, and out of them all, not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service. As for every manner of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in all his realm. And Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. Father God, we give you this time. God, I pray that you would remove me from this message. That's not my words, it's your words. God, I stand here just unworthy to speak unless you speak through me. God, I pray for those that are hearing this, that you would open up their ears to understand, their hearts to understand the message and apply it to their lives. God, I pray if there's one that doesn't know you, that today would be their day of salvation. They realize that they are in need of a Savior, and that Savior's name is Jesus Christ. And as we lift him up, he promises to draw others to himself. So we pray for that today. Let everything that's said and done bring you glory and honor. Name your son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So back up a little bit. Daniel is in this strange country. He has been taken captive, him and some other people. Some scholars say about 3,000 have taken captive. Daniel finds his way out of his country. He's not with his family. He's with some friends that he knows, but he is with this king called Nebuchadnezzar. And he has taken them out of his homeland, brought him to a foreign land, and his goal is to train them in every way possible to serve him. And Daniel was a young boy. We don't know how old he was. We think he's probably a teenager. He may be 17, 18. He may be 13, 14. We just don't know. We do know that at the beginning of chapter 1, it says a specific year when this happens. And we know that Daniel served until the first year of King Cyrus. We know when he ended, when he died. And so if he's about 15, 16, 17, and he served all that time, he's about 85-ish when he dies. And Daniel served, we know, 5 kings. He had a lot of influence. He had a lot of power that was given to him. And I want to talk about how did Daniel have that. I think we can learn some things from that. The Bible's full of examples of people, of godly men, of godly women, and examples of how we should live. And I think there's no better than Daniel for us to emulate. Daniel obtains influence. He obtains power in his lifetime. We see in Daniel 1 that he starts out a leader among the youth. He's the spokesperson. He's the one that says, hey, here's a plan. We can't defile ourselves. He gains influence in in Babylon amongst all the wise men. We see that in Daniel verses 17 through 20, chapter 1. He was given power in all of Babylon. We see that in Daniel chapter 2 and chapter 5. We also see that he is given power in future kingdoms in Daniel 6. And so how was Daniel able to reach these positions of power and influence without compromising his position as a godly man? And I think that's what my job is to do. How do I do what God wants me to do without compromising what the world wants me to do? Because God wants us to make a stand, godly men, godly women. He wants us to stand firm in his promises and not compromise. Daniel's an example of that. And so the first thing we notice is Daniel had a purpose. I love chapter 1, verse 8. Daniel made up his mind or purposed in his heart not to defile God. Daniel had a purpose. As a young lad, as a young boy, as a young man in a strange land where nobody else was watching, where he was encouraged to do something that made sense to everybody else but him, he immediately was faced with a challenge to violate God's law by eating the king's food. It was not acceptable for him as a Jewish boy to eat the food, drink the drink that the king was putting in front of him. And all he had to do was do it because everybody else was doing it. But despite him being young, despite the pressure to conform, Daniel purposed in his heart to uphold the law of God, no matter what the cost. Can you imagine being Daniel as a young person and going to the person that's overseeing you, say, hey, we can't eat that food. And that guy saying, if I don't do what the king says, my head's going to roll. And Daniel says, well, here's the plan. Let's do this for 10 days. Daniel came up with an option. Because of his willingness to put God first, God granted Daniel this unbelievable favor in the sight of others all through his life. And he's not the only person that God did that to. We see in the book of Genesis, the life of Joseph. God blessed Joseph. Even in the tough times, he had favor and saw people saw him in different. Daniel had a purpose. Here's my question. What's your purpose? If we're children of God, we have a purpose. God's given it to us. We've got to decide now, no matter what comes, we're going to stand for God. Daniel didn't wake up that day and say, you know what, I think I'm going to stand for God. No, he purposed in his heart not to defile God before he even got into that situation. And we need to do the same thing. We need a purpose in our heart not to compromise. You see, every child of God, every believer needs to be a person of purpose. People don't respect people who are wishy-washy. In fact, James talks about that. You'll be like a leaf blown in the wind. People don't like people that don't have direction in their life. A strong sense of purpose often brings about respect and admiration in others. Now, we don't do it for that. That's not the plan. But when we have a sense of direction, we have a purpose, and we do not defile ourselves, we do not compromise, it gives us some respect in community. What should be the purpose of a believer? Well, I'm glad you asked, because in Matthew, Jesus gives us the purpose. Matthew 6, verse 33, seek you first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We're to seek God and seek righteousness. Righteousness is a big word for living right. We're to seek God and live right. That's what Jesus wants us to do. So I guess my question is, how do we be like a Daniel, be a person with a purpose like he had? No matter how young you are, from the youngest to the oldest, it's never too early to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Throughout his life, Daniel had a strong sense of purpose. But also, number two, Daniel built his life on godly principles. Not only did he have a good sense of purpose, he built his life on godly principles. As a young man, by refusing to eat the king's meat or drink his wine, as an old man, he was, some scholars say he was in his 70s when he's thrown into the lion's den. As an old man, he was refusing Belshazzar's gifts and refusing the decree of Darius to the point where he's thrown in a pit with lions. Now, I've never faced that, and I don't think I'll ever face that particular thing, but I want to be a man who doesn't compromise, that stands for my convictions. And I think people admire people who have principles. And this word gives us the principles of God that we need to stand upon, not what the world says. I think there's fast coming a day in America that we, if we don't stand on these convictions of these principles, we're going by the wayside. And unfortunately, we see that over and over again. Outward, they may ridicule people who have principles, but inwardly, I think a lot of times they ridicule them because they wish they could do the same. They wish they were that person. And when they need somebody to be trusted, that's who they go to. God admires individuals who stand by their principles and by their words. Here's what Psalms 15 says. I love Psalms 15. O Lord, who may abide in your tent, who may dwell on your holy hill, he who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart, he does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against a friend, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised, and who honors those who fear the Lord. He swears on his own hurt and does not change. He does not put out his money at interest, nor does take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will not be shaken. That's who God wants us to be. Men and women who have godly principles. We're in great need of people with principles in this nation, in this world. Demonstrate by example the value of being led by principle rather than by price. And they're not only highly valued by God, but they'll be valued by other people. By having a life of purpose and godly principle, that's not the only thing that Daniel had going on in his life that he focused on. Another element for true success that he had, we see that Daniel lived a life of purity. He lived a life of purity. It says that his opponents, they were looking for something to find fault with Daniel, and they could not find any fault. We see this in the later part of his life. He was faultless when it came to the management of the business affairs that he was given authority over. And that's probably helped him rise to the responsibility level that he had and the power they had. Of course, his purity in business affairs, they related to his overall purpose to please God first. We got to get that right. Put God first in everything. If we keep vertical right, our eyes up here, this horizontal stuff will be so much easier. Because when we're focused up here, we're not caught up in everything. The New Testament says this, keep your eyes focused above, not on things of the earth. And Daniel was a man of principle that could be trusted. And so as believers, we're taught to be pure in our conduct. 1 Timothy, familiar verse. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourselves an example of those who believe. Young people, old people, in-between people, we got to live it out. Titus says it this way, likewise, urge the young men to be sensible in all things, show yourselves to be an example of good deeds, with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. People who maintain purity in their dealings of life with others are often given positions of great responsibilities with some privileges because they can be trusted to use them wisely. That's not why we do it. It's just how God sees things. Daniel lived a life of purpose. He had godly principles. And he was pure in his conduct. But there's one thing that I believe brought all these things together. And we see this trait throughout his whole life. Number four, Daniel knew the importance of prayer. Brother Paul would be proud that I did four P's. We see a glimpse of his prayer life in Daniel 6:10. And he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. Now you say, great, what does that mean? Well, the thing is, the people around him didn't like Daniel, and they wanted to find fault in him, and they could not find fault. And so what they did was, they went to the king and said, oh, King Darius, let's have this decree that no one can bow except to you for 30 days. Why? Because they knew Daniel bowed on it at his window, looking towards Jerusalem, to Israel, three times a day, faithful every day, to spend three times a day, morning, noon, and night, in his window where everybody can see, praying to his God. And King Darius was pumped up. He's like, oh, that sounds good. Let's do it. And he signed a decree. And when Daniel heard it was signed, what did he do? Did he go in fear? No. He went to his window to pray, like he'd always done. Even knowing that because Darius had signed a decree, he could do nothing to take it away. Once he signed it, it was law, and he could not take it back. Daniel knew that the guilt of someone doing that was to be thrown into a lion's den. And yet, it did not stop him. Why? Because he knew the power of prayer. He knelt in prayer. It's a demonstration of humility. He prayed three times a day, which was a demonstration of his of dependence upon God. He gives thanks in the midst of this persecution, which is a demonstration of gratitude and the fact that he had not lost sight that God had blessed him and was still in control. One translation, it says, his prayers were accustomed since the early days. Meaning since way back they knew Daniel. If Daniel came into this country as a teenager, the time he's now in his 70s, people knew who Daniel was. They had observed him. He was a wise old man. He was faithful. Could it be that his custom to pray so diligently helped him to live a life of purpose? I think so. Could it be that his custom to pray so diligently helped him to have godly principles? I think so. And it helped him have purity in his conduct. Despite him rising to power, despite him having this influence in this empire, he continued to do what God wanted him to do. No matter where you are, students, don't stop doing what God wants you to do. Put Him first in your life. I promise you, He will direct you. He will keep you on that path. He will give you that focus. As believers, I think we do well to follow Daniel. One commentator said this: let us learn the lesson that the finest of God's servants must maintain regular and fixed prayer habits in order to continue steadfast in devotion to the Lord. When do I struggle the most? When I'm away from this word and I'm not spending time in prayer. Why? Because my mind goes elsewhere. My mind is not vertically, it's horizontally, it's fleshly. As Christians, we're to pray often. We see that in the New Testament. Pray without ceasing. In our efforts to live purposeful, principled, and pure lives, that's what we should be doing. But I think the discipline of prayer helps us to do that. And I'm sure y'all are like me, man. We do those arrow prayers, right? God, please get me out of this. We see those blue lights going in the back. Ooh, Lord, help me not get a ticket. I know that's just me. But we all do that. We all have these arrow prayers. That's not the prayers He's talking about. Being disciplined to pray. Pray without ceasing is having a heart attitude of prayer, of dependence upon God in our lives each and every day, each and every moment. There's one, I remember going to a conference sometime years ago. They're talking about the Hebrew words. And they don't know how to pronounce Yahweh. They really don't. Because it's the old Hebrew, and there's some speculation on how to pronounce it. But this writer said, I think the best explanation is this. When you breathe in, you breathe out. Yahweh. 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 Well, what does Yahweh mean? It's our God. Yahweh. What if our prayer life became so important that it took precedence over everything else? What if we became disciplined in that area of our life? I think the other areas of our life would go so much easier. That's what I found in my life. Are you willing to be like Daniel in regards to prayer? I think because Daniel placed such a predominance on prayer in his life, it allowed him to do those other things. It allowed him to continue to be purposeful in his living, to have godly principles, and to be pure in his conduct. There's this false assumption in the world today that to get ahead in this world, you have to conform to sinful practices or do what other people are doing. You don't. You don't. There's many Christians that demonstrate that when we become like Daniel, when we focus on what Daniel focused on, we can succeed. But here's the problem. Who defines success in your life? What does success look like in your life? For each one of us, it's different. For me, success is pouring into the lives of students, of doing ministry. I don't care if it's 20, 100, or 2. I want to pour into their lives. Why? Because I believe that's what God called me to do. Mary Page, I'm going to make you cry. I am. For Brody and Caroline, success to them is being obedient to the call to India. What if your child was called to India? Are you so holding on tight to what that you want them to do? Or are you willing to let go and say, God, use them however you see fit? India. I don't know if you saw what they put out this week. But Christianity isn't the top religion in India. It's not even close. 1.7 billion people in the size of our Western half of the United States. 1.3%, I think it was, Christian. It's not very much. They're called to take the gospel. What are we called to do? Called to live a life with purpose. But you're only going to find that purpose is when you put God first in your life. Without that, you're going to search over and over and over again to try to fill that void. And you'll fill it up with a bunch of worldly stuff. But it won't satisfy until you find your purpose in God. So what would your life be like if these were present in your life? That you were living a life with purpose. That you had godly principles. That your conduct was pure. And you were faithful and consistent in your prayer life. What would it be like? And what would happen if you started today? That's the challenge. If that's not who you are, if that's not where you're at, start today. Be that person today. We're going to go into a time we call invitation. I like what James Croft said. It's a time of decision. It's decision time. I believe I've faithfully spoken what God wants me to speak. So now the challenge to you, how are you doing? Is there an area of your life that you need direction or purpose? Or maybe you need to be more disciplined. Man, there's no place better to be on your knees praying. I know you can do it where you're sitting. You can pray anywhere. But I'm just telling you, there's something about praying and seeking God. I'm going to pray. We're going to start. We're going to sing. I'm going to ask you, be obedient to what God's calling you to do.